Everyone, you're listening to What Makes the Cut. This week's movies are Rosemary's Baby and Hereditary. Before we get into the episode, make sure you go check out at What Makes the Cut on Twitter. Thank you very much. Enjoy the episode.
We sat down and watched two movies this week because cult members are coming for your kids. Hide your wife. Hide your kids.
They're coming for everybody up in here.
What did we sit down and watch this week, Josh?
We sat down and the first movie I sat down and watched was Rosemary's Baby.
Yes, I did too.
It's about a young couple trying for a baby, moves into an aging, ornate apartment building on Central Park West, New York City, where they find themselves surrounded by a peculiar neighbors.
Is this the movie you sat down and watched this week?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's directed by Roman Polanski.
Yes.
Also screenplay by him. This is a movie from 1968. So some of these actors you may or may not have heard of. I have not. Mia Farrow, John Cassavetes, Ruth Gordon, Sidney Blackmer, Maurice Evans, and Ralph Bellamy. Ralph Bellamy rings a bell to me. I just don't know where. It's like I've heard the name before.
Yeah. What pisses me off is, first of all, when I read this doc, I saw that and was like, man, Ralph Bellamy, 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 Bellamy. Wait a second, that's a character from The 100.
It had a budget, again, 1968.
Yes.
Had inflation. A budget of $3.2 million.
So about $2 billion today's
money. A fuck ton of money.
Yeah.
Like, if someone said in the 60s, I made a movie for $3 million, I'd be like, what the fuck? That's a lot of money.
So you never need to work again.
Yeah. And in the box office, it made $33.4 million. It quite literally times its money by 11.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
It did good.
It do good. It do very good.
What do you think?
Look, I think I can see. So I picked these movies this week. Got another horror week.
Yeah.
And I definitely thought that this movie deserves its classic title.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to pick this movie because, like, I'd never seen it. Super classic movie. And a lot of movies today take from this. Fantastic movie.
Yeah.
Fantastic movie. So good.
I'm inclined to slightly disagree with you. It took me a long time to enjoy this movie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a slow burn.
Yeah. Oh, slowest. Yeah. I've seen candles die out faster than this movie. You got a few talking points here?
I do. So, I want to ask you some questions. Her and her husband move into this brand new apartment that an old woman has, like, passed on from. The landlord says at the start of the movie that, no, they didn't die in the apartment. She was very sick. She was 90 or whatever. Died in hospital. But the big kind of like point of this scene at the very, very start, the opening scene, is to let you know that this floor is four rooms divided.
Yeah.
So very, very thin walls in each of the corners dividing the apartments. That plays in at the end.
Yes.
So what did you think about the husband-wife dynamic they had just in the first 30 minutes of the movie?
Seemed like newlywed, kind of. Oh, I can't wait to move into this house with you and start a family and stuff.
The entire interaction I got from them was, when's he going to start beating her?
No, yeah, I do agree. At the start, it did seem very toxic. Again, 1968.
Very patriarchy-centered.
Yeah, so, and there were points in the movie where I went, ooh.
Yeah, like, it's funny, I can't tell whether or not these are just bad actors or it was written and they were directed oddly to anytime there was a scuffle which would lead to a fight, they kind of just play it off as a joke. I couldn't tell whether or not this was just a normal kind of joke they have. And there's a couple of points with it throughout that. And then they have a real fight after the party, after their young people's party.
Yeah.
So we start off going in through the landlord, showing you all the rooms.
Yep.
And then time kind of skips a lot in this movie. And then they've got furniture and they've been there for weeks and shit like that. So we're now introduced to the older couple that lives on one of the adjoining apartments that they can hear through their bedroom, I believe.
Yeah.
What do you think of these characters?
Immediately, I thought they were weird. Like, I don't like nosy characters in movies.
Yeah, kind of cringy for me.
I don't like nosy people. Yeah, immediately with those people, I was like, they're overstepping their boundaries right away.
But oh, absolutely.
My first thought was, they've lived in the building. They want to know everything. They're old people. They want to know everything's going on in the building.
Plus in the, like, late 60s, you know? Like, it's... I feel like that's very common. And, like, Rosemary and Guy, which is the husband and wife that we have, Mia Farrow and... I can't remember the actor's name for Guy. But they're very polite, you know? Like, she doesn't want these old people there. But every time they pop up, it's, oh, yeah, please do come in, sit down, have a cup of coffee.
They're not like us millennials where it's like, oh, hey, how you doing? Fuck off, I don't want you here.
Who are you? What do you want? Go away. Yeah.
Everyone was very welcoming then because they needed to keep up appearances.
Yep. So, Guy's a struggling actor, mainly known for Yamaha commercials and a couple of minor roles on stage. So, he's a struggling actor.
Yamaha made mostly TVs in the 60s.
Mate, come on. Was it? It was Yamaha, yeah?
Yeah, it was Yamaha.
But it was a motorbike commercial.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying, they made a lot. Yeah, Yamaha was like, I'm going to make everything.
You know, the
which is why I was like, they made mostly TVs and pianos.
Yeah. When that scene came on, I was like, oh, man, that's going to be fun because Yamaha makes Josh's bike. Oh, wait, no, that's... That's Kawasaki, isn't it?
Your dad would be disappointed in you.
I know, that's funny. He doesn't listen.
Until you go over on the weekend, he's like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I know, right? Like, how did you not know that? Fuck. All right, so
be grounded. Go to your room. I don't live with you.
Yes, Dad. So, yeah, I felt the dynamic between the two main characters was really weird, and I kind of chalked that up to just not understanding the dynamic of the time period, but... Yeah. I also kind of think it was played up for that. Like, it was very... The cinematography in this is really awkward. Very anxiety-inducing. A lot of dark hallways. A lot of panning shots to blackness.
A lot of framing the characters in, like, with walls and, you know, like, she's sitting on a chair and he's sitting on, like, this weird kind of similar to what you're sitting on, like watching TV.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's turned around awkwardly and she's sitting there with her leg crossed and she's trying to... It's like, she's sitting in a weird position. Like, why are you framing the kitchen and her? Why can't you just do a close-up on her face? But, again, it's probably, you know, things have changed in the way we feel. Oh,
yeah, absolutely. But, again, like, the reason I wanted to cover this is so many movies... take from Rosemary's Baby. Rosemary's Baby is like one of the
classics,
yeah, but like catalysts in cinematography. That's like, once Rosemary's Baby came out, everyone went, oh shit, we can do this, so kind of thing.
What you're saying is, like, a lot of horror films will pull elements and stuff. Oh, it does make sense. No, you do say that and it does pop into my head. Overall, the movie, like I said, it was slow burn. But it's like they've removed that slow burn part, and some horror movies do feel very rushed. But
I agree.
If you think about the key things in the story, they do mimic them.
Yeah.
But I just want to say that one of them, I don't want to ruin it, but I think back on the movie and a lot of the things her husband did make sense as the movie goes on and you start to learn new things.
You're going to have to spoil it, man. Like, what? What do you mean?
She has her friend come over.
Mm.
And then her husband comes home.
Oh, the Hutch character?
Yeah. So Hutch comes over and her husband comes home. And she's like, what are you doing home so early? And it's like, at that point, that was actually the point where I was like, holy crap, that's what's happening. This is like, and then I started to piece everything together.
On it.
Yeah. And then, you know, it's bit by bit, by bit, by bit, you know, like, going to your second point.
Yeah, like, that... Look, obviously, I'd known of Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah.
Since I was a kid.
My auntie had mentioned it to me a few times, but I'd really never watched it.
Yeah. I was not expecting a full-on rape scene.
Neither was I.
Like, that is...
Neither was I. And then he gaslights her.
Oh, fucking oath. But, my... Look...
Oh, I didn't want to miss the chance. I didn't want to miss the opportunity.
Well, he fucking... Well, okay, so... one, she gets raped by Satan, or she gets raped by her husband. These are pretty bad situations.
Either way.
Yeah, either way,
it's bad.
This is terrible.
Like, what he did is exactly what we teach people these days in society. If a person is unable to consent, do not do it. Sleep in another room.
Yeah.
Like,
but hey, he was drunk too.
Yeah, he was drunk too, and he didn't want to miss the opportunity.
Yeah.
And it's the 60s, they probably went... You know, if she took it to court, they'd be like, but he's your husband.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, it's not good. I was not expecting it. That was one of the moments where I was like, holy shit.
But on the flip side, we get titty shots.
Yeah, titty shots.
Titty shots.
Very nice titties.
I think I want to jump to my last point.
Yeah.
Because I'm not convinced that... the way we see everything played out in the movie actually happened. I think there's a lot of coincidences and a lot of hysteria, for lack of a better word.
Well, you're obviously watching it mostly from her point of view.
Oh, yeah.
She is the sole main character everyone else is supporting.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And
fantastic job by Mia Farrow. Yeah, absolutely fantastic acting.
Everything... It's called Rosemary's Baby. So it revolves around her and her baby.
Yes.
You know, and her pregnancy. And like I said, it wasn't until the end where I started thinking about everything else that happened. Mm. Oh, you know, go to this doctor. See this doctor. Yeah. And then her husband's like, oh, no. I got to go tell such and such. It's like, but you met them like...
2 days ago.
You don't know this. Yeah, why do you want to go tell them? Oh, well, they already know we're expecting. None of your fucking business.
Okay, so you're in the camp that... all of this shit happened.
I'm in the camp of everything was orchestrated. Like, she had no control.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely no control of her life. So it feels like coincidences.
Okay.
Puppeteering.
Yeah.
They know everything that's going on because her husband... Hutch goes into a coma.
Yes.
He asks her while on the phone... Okay, there's another thing that made me go, holy shit. He asked her while on the phone, who was that? Hutch. What do you want? He wants to see me. What about? I don't know. He didn't say. Where? Time's building.
Yeah, okay.
When? Okay. 11 o'clock.
Yeah, and then what? She
goes there. 11:30 rolls up. He's not there. Gets a call the next day. He's in a coma. And she finds out. Spell's been put on Hutch. Put him in a coma.
This was also after guys... I want to say opposing actor got the part that he was going for and then woke up blind.
Yeah, also, another thing that happened, like, you know, he goes, oh, I didn't get the part, such and such did. The next day, oh, I got the part, he ended up blind. I was like, oh, shit,
What
a coinky dick.
Yeah.
At that point, I was like, all right, he's done something. He full daredeviled that guy.
Oh, fucking earth.
But then, no. And then she calls... She later on starts doing some investigating. She calls the guy up and she's like, oh, my husband has something of yours. Because she reads in a book that you need someone that person's item.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, what are you talking about? It's like, he has the thing of yours. He's like, oh, you mean my tie? We traded. Holy shit. My husband's a witch.
Yeah, but it's like... I think in the latter 30 minutes of the movie, there's a lot of just... coincidences lining up with the thought everyone's a witch, everyone's in on it. But realistically, I think she's just having a mental breakdown.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely a lot of, like, again, it comes from her point of view. Yeah, so hysteria and shit, she's seeing it like, oh, take your medicine. It could literally just be paracetamol.
Yeah.
But she's like, nah, it's not. They're drugging me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I agree with you. There's a lot of coincidences, but I think most of the movie was fucking orchestrated.
Yeah, which is, again, I want to skip to the end of the movie because I do want to talk about it.
Mm.
So, start of the movie, she gets raped. For the first, 2 months of her pregnancy, she's in unbearable pain.
Yeah.
24/7. And then when she finally blows up at Guy, actually has a full-on argument with him... she feels the baby kicking, and it hits her that, oh, it's alive.
Yeah.
So, when do babies start kicking?
I don't know. Mine's like 11 weeks, so not yet.
Yeah, not yet. Okay. So there's definitely 3 months minimum between the rape scene and her blowing up a guy.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's way too early.
Yeah.
But she's not showing. Not until the latter half of the movie.
No, there's tomorrow.
Okay, fair call. So, man, that's weird. Babies are weird.
Yeah, so my understanding is everyone shows differently.
Yeah.
Some people show sooner. Some people show later. Some people don't even show whatsoever because, you know, they're fat as fuck. But
how PC of you, Josh?
Eh.
Yeah.
But her being fairly slender, it did make a lot of sense to me that she's holding her belly. She's like, oh, I could feel it moving. It's like, well, where is it? But then again, she was wearing kind of-ish loose clothes. But it should have been for you to feel the stomach kind of like hardens up and you'd notice it.
Even
loose clothing, you'd notice that it's like going to like a TP.
Hey, man, I'm pretty overweight. I got a belly. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I have 3 pizzas and I'm like, oh, shit, yeah, I'm pregnant. Like, yeah, I'm fully aware. So, yeah, like, I do want to kind of fast forward to the end of the movie to talk about the final scene, you know, where she grabs the knife.
Yeah.
She hears people talking in the other room.
I was ready for a stab fest. Oh, I was ready for
same,
some...
Same, eh? But, hey, 1960s.
Some carry shit, bro.
Yeah.
I thought she'd go in there and start, like, stabbing her husband. And I was like, do it. And then, yeah, when she sees this baby, I was like, do it.
Nah, but she chickens out and then ends up being a mother. So, I have two theories about this scene. One, she's hallucinating the whole thing.
Okay.
Because when she... Yep. So, to get into the other apartment, she finds behind these shelving units is a door. When she goes through that, the camera kind of cuts to black. They have no lighting in the scene, and when she pops out on the other end, it looks surreal.
She's in the other people's apartment.
Right, but she's been in that that apartment before, and the, like, cinematography was just normal. Like, it was normal as her apartment. Yeah. Like, the cinematography didn't really change.
The layout kind of changed, too.
It was kind of odd. All of her hallucinations when she was kind of being brought down to Satan ended up as paintings on the walls.
Oh, yeah.
Because
she looks at one and she says, let it all burn down or something.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, you're holding her too high, which is what she hallucinated people saying her when she was being raped by Satan. Yeah. But she also... Oh, man, actually. Talking about this, I might be changing my opinion. Because earlier on in the movie, the first time they go to the old person's house, she turns to her husband when they get back home and goes, do you realize they took down all their paintings?
Oh.
There's dirt on the walls and white, like, clean spots and the pictures there. Yeah,
they obviously want to keep up appearances.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Fuck. Maybe
everything was orchestrated.
Yeah, everything
solved
was orchestrated.
Solved it here, guys. I don't know if that was a mystery, but we solved it here.
Yeah, absolutely. With a new red web.
Yep.
Yep. Solve the mystery. Go on. I'm a task force member.
I have no idea what it's on about.
It's a good podcast. So the last thing I want to talk about, which I want to talk about in both these movies, why do cult members have to be naked during rituals?
My understanding is it's about letting go of your earthly possessions.
So cut off your cock and sew up your vagina.
That's not earthly possession. You don't own them. They're a part of you. It's like being free. Nothing holds you down. Clothes cost money. Clothes are bound to the earth, whereas your natural body is what you're born with. It's that kind of thing. Rebirth. Okay. It's this cult weird, okay?
Lots of old penises in these
movies. Lots of old penises.
A lot of old penises.
Very hard to jack off to.
Hey, I succeeded.
But yeah, overall, not
No, like, that's bad. No, that's bad. No, yeah. I want to clarify. I did not masturbate during this because that was a rape scene with Satan. It's not what I'm into.
Yeah, no, I didn't either. It was all for giggles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but you jacked off for the giggles, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool.
I jacked off while giggling. overall, like I said, it's a slow burn.
Yes,
it took me a long time to get into the movie and stuff like that. But when it all started hyping up and, you know, she started to suspect everyone,
Yeah.
That's when I was like, ooh, this is getting pretty good. Yeah. But overall...
Oh, wait, no. I'm changing my opinion again. I know we're running a little bit over on this topic, but I'm changing my opinion again because when she's, you know, back in bed after the hysteria, before she goes, hopefully, on a stab fest...
Prepartum.
She asks Guy to show her his shoulders.
Yeah.
And there's no mark. So he's not a cult member.
Doesn't mean anything. He could have just made a deal. He literally says, we're getting a lot out of this.
Oh, yeah.
So they've probably approached him and said, hey, let Satan impregnate your wife and give birth to Adrian, the Antichrist, and we will make you rich and famous, which is what he wants.
Yeah, which is like actually, yeah, sitting next to her bed after, you know, she has that freak out. He's like, yeah, we got Warner Brothers. We got Universal looking at me like, okay, he's getting a lot. Ever since he moved in that apartment, he's been getting all the acting gigs he wants.
Like, look, he's not getting Crunchyroll or Disney fighting over him, but...
I'm keen for Bleach.
But yeah, it's... Yeah, he was definitely... They promised him something.
Yeah.
In return of the child.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because she says, look at his eyes, look at his feet, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and she does freak out when she first sees the baby.
Yeah. And then she hears him crying and mother mode kicks in. She's like, hey, you're rocking him too hard. She's like, fuck off. Get out of here. That fucking old biddy.
Yeah.
So hit me with the reviews.
Oh, man. Rushing me, are you?
I'm excited to hear these reviews. Okay, cool.
What do you reckon the critic score for Rosemary's Baby 1968 is?
87%.
Sorry, man. You're never going to get this.
No.
96%.
No way.
Fresh.
No way.
Yeah, people love this movie.
It is a good movie.
Look, very, very, very good movie. That's with 77 critic reviews. Audience, what do you reckon?
57.
87.
Ooh.
Man, you were close. You got one digit there. That's with 50,000 plus reviews.
Yeah, no, that's good. Good. Any bad reviews? Anyone say bad stuff about it?
The critic consensus is a frightening tale of Satanism and pregnancy that is even more disturbing than it sounds, thanks to convincing and committed performances by Mia Farrow and Ruth Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I cannot agree with that more. Unfortunately, we don't have bad reviews. Like,
that says a lot about the movie, though.
Yeah, like, I've been looking before we sat down. There's not, like... not a lot of rotten reviews.
No one trash talking it.
Look, there is, but they're not very concise. Okay, we got one for Ramblings Daniel C.
Ramblings of a madman.
Pretty much. We got one for Daniel C, 1-star rotten review. Talk about a boring movie. They rate this movie in the top 10 scary movies of all time. Why? It's not scary at all. I get it, having the devil's baby is scary. Yeah, if it was a real life thing, but the fact that it was a movie is kind of lame.
Boring at the start because of how long it takes to get into it.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of information they're trying to flesh out. And again, it comes from her perspective.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to get you into her footsteps. Probably doesn't work well for us because we didn't grow up in the fucking 60s.
No.
Yeah, so this came out in 1968. It was a different time then. Very religious then. My mum was born... Holy shit, I think my mum was born... I think my mum was born 68. So she might have watched this when she was a kid. You know, it could have been on television. You know, and in that time, Australia got things way late. My mum could have watched this and been like, that is the scariest fucking thing ever.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, but...
Yeah, I can definitely see how, like... it leaves you in suspense.
Yeah.
It plays on anxiety.
Yeah.
Which I think is what a lot of people miss when they sit down and watch it. Especially people our age that watch it for the first
time. We're used to... I didn't get scared by it. I can see why people in the time would, because we have jump scares these days because we have technology to get that done.
Yeah, yeah.
And the understanding of how to fuck with a person's head.
Yes.
There's scenes where there's scenes in a lot of movies where you can see the ghost or the apparition or the bad thing in the corner. You're like, there it is. Ha, you didn't get me. I see you. And then it moves towards you and they play the music and you're like, oh. Got me.
Yeah. But like, I think that's bad horror.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, movies that rely on jump scares aren't good movies.
I agree.
it's kind of like a crutch for the horror genre.
When people are like, oh, The Conjuring was so scary. They had to have a priest outside. It's like, why? Because you jumped like 30 times because they played loud music and that's what humans do. I guarantee if I fucking hit one of these buttons and it played loud fucking music, you'd be like, oh, shit, because you're not expecting it.
Yeah, if we just randomly scream, you will have the same jump and anxiety feeling that The Conjuring gives you.
I was listening to a podcast
that doesn't mean we're scary, you
know, earlier this week, and they started like they're talking like we are, and then they started like laughing just out of nowhere because someone had done something in their studio.
Yeah,
they started laughing really loud into the microphones, and it
You jumped.
I was like, "Whoa,
mate!" Look, I just past week I edited last week's episode, Cannibal the Musical.
Mm.
Every time you screamed the word cannibal, I had to go in, individually pick that peak and bring it down. I jumped every time.
You're welcome. I'm sorry. I actually do apologize. It has an exclamation mark. I figured I had
it. It does. You were just doing right by a reviewer.
But yeah, no, I can see why he has that review and whatnot, where he comes from, but I think he misses the point.
Absolutely. So we've looked at reviews. Mm. We've looked at Rotten Tomatoes. What do you think IMDb's numbers are?
I'm going to say a straight 8.
One more time for me?
A straight 8.
Holy
No.
Yeah, straight 8. 8 out of 10. I just realized where I'm staring at you because I'm like, what the fuck? But this is a podcast and I need to be talking. Holy fucking shit, dude. 8 on, 8 on.
Nah, horse shit.
8. 8. Right there. 8. Holy 8 shit. Out of 10. Oh, finally, 7 episodes, and he gets it. So I've always promised it to you. Now you finally get it. Chris high five.
Fuck yeah.
That was a terrible high five.
Ah, well.
Fuck yeah. Oh, shit me, man. You finally got it. You're getting good at this.
I don't know what to say. I want to thank my fans. I want to thank my family. Most of all, I want to thank Adrian. You've always been there for me.
Yes, yes.
Tell your dad I said hi.
Okay, so we've looked at IMDb. We've looked at Rotten Tomatoes. You fucking finally got a review score. Holy shit.
One day I'll get off grey.
I was expecting you not to get it to like episode 50.
Yeah, no, me too.
Seven. Episode 7.
Well, I went off. This was my thinking when I said 8. I went off those two being good. Like, because I don't think they have, in any of our reviews we've done, critic and audience have been that close.
No, I don't think so.
So I was like, look, if everyone likes it, not at all was either of those a perfect movie.
Fuck.
And I was like, all right, first thought was 9. Because I was thinking about while we were talking, I'm like, it's a 9. Yeah. No. Go 7. Why don't I go the middle? I'll go 8.5. No, fuck it. I want to go a straight number. Yeah.
Oh, let's go 8. Mate. To be in your mind.
Sorry, I said 8. And I was like, wait, no, let's go 8.1. But no, 8, yeah.
It's cool. Not The Price is Right. But you did get it bang on.
The dude who won Price is Right by doing, I think it was like $8,000. Oh, yeah. $8,001. Yeah. And he was $1 close. That's how he ended up playing. And they were like, that's a shit fucking thing to do.
But yeah. All right, I want to know your rating. Because, hey man, now that you're a professional critic.
7.5. Because of the slow burn.
Yeah, I think it definitely loses points in the slow burn, but I'm going to be a little bit harsher. I reckon a solid 6.
Yeah?
Like, it's a very good movie, but I think there's only special edge cases that someone would watch it. Like, doing a podcast, for example.
Horror film buffs,
or people that, like, actually are intrigued in cinematography and movie and scripting and, like... I don't think this is a good movie just for the general audience to sit down and watch. Not today.
No.
Not today's standards. No. It might have been when it released. Might have been fucking horrific when it released. But today, I think it's edge cases that should watch this.
It's on the fringe now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we watched another movie this week, Josh.
Yeah, we did.
What did we watch?
Hereditary.
Absolutely, we did. Give me the synopsis for Hereditary.
A grieving family is haunted by tragic and disturbing occurrences.
Is that the movie you watched this week?
Mm.
It's not the movie I watched this week. No.
No. There's not really hauntings.
No, there isn't.
Grieving Family is correct, though.
Yes, Grieving Family, yes.
So it's written and directed by Ari Aster.
Starring Toni Collette.
Just Collette. Oh, Toni Collette.
Mate, I was it's so... Not like, it's I said like that with Gillette. Such confidence.
It's okay. I fucking knew I saw her somewhere, too. I really did. I saw her. Toni Collette. She's in so much stuff.
Oh, yeah, she's in fucking everything. She's a phenomenal actor. I've lost talking privileges, Josh, so you need to tell us who this movie is starring. I can't pronounce names, apparently.
So, it stars Toni Collette, Alex Wolff, Millie Shapiro, Ann Dowd, and Gabriel Byrne. I believe that's the young gentleman who plays Peter.
Yes, I think
I've seen
so.
Him in something else, too. I'm just not sure
what. I'm just not sure what it is, though.
It had a budget of $10
million. Yes.
Times that by 8.
Sorry, Gabriel Byrne is the dad.
Oh, okay. Must be Alex Wolff then. I've seen. Budget of $10 million. Yeah. Times that by 8 in the box office.
Oh, okay. This fucking broke bank. This broke bank.
Holy
this
shit.
This broke bank. And deserving, too.
Yeah.
I actually really enjoyed this movie. So, yeah, on top of Toni Collette, Alex Wolff, Gabriel Byrne, three phenomenal actors, I have a realization on why this movie made so much money.
Why?
It's made by A24. Very, very good at horror, and they take, like, a Blumhouse approach. So, think Paranormal Activity.
Yeah.
Super low budgets, but you make everything 10 times more scary, get the writing and cinematography down, and you quadruple your money easy.
You mean octuple?
Yeah, in this case. But like, I think Paranormal Activity, I think they have a budget of like $10,000.
Yeah.
It was a horrifying movie.
They rented a house and a couple camcorders.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a horrifying movie and they made bank off it.
I just want to say this movie followed the same... Not the same premise, but the same timing as
Rosemary's
Baby. Yeah, it was very slow very burn slow. At the start.
Very slow.
There was a little jump scare towards the start. So Toni Collette's mother dies. They go to the funeral. That's pretty much how it starts. Mother dies. She goes to the funeral. She's like, oh, you know, my mom was ill. She had all these things. DID, which is, you know, insane. Dissociative interpersonality disorder, split personalities.
Right, but I'm confused because insane is probably not the PC word to use.
She's insane. It's the clinical term. She's non-sane.
Yeah.
So her mother was not healthy. And she died. All this sort of stuff. Then they go home. The daughter isn't doing so well with it. You know, grandma was everything to her, kind of thing.
Yeah.
It kind of follows the daughter at the start.
Yeah, you think the daughter, which is mute...
No, she talks.
Does she?
Yeah. She talks. Just, I think she's on the spectrum because she makes clicking noises.
Oh, she does talk, doesn't she?
Yeah. Because she literally says, who's going to care for me now?
Yeah.
And she's like, I am. I'm your mother. But it follows her at the start, and it is a slow burn.
Very slow.
Takes about, so the mother walks in to her little studio where she makes small dioramas, miniatures.
Yes.
Which, fucking good.
Oh, yeah, she's
And then
pro.
Normally scenes about her life,
mm.
as you learn throughout the movie. That's how she copes with things. And she looks into a corner after going through a box of her mum's things, seeing some photos. She's like, nah, I'm not ready to look through this. Closes it up. She looks into a corner, she turns the light off, and she sees her mum.
Oof.
That wasn't a jump scare, but I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Chilling.
Yeah. Proper horror.
That's proper horror.
Proper horror.
I was like, ooh. Yeah. Sent that tingle down my spine. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, I can't watch this movie at night. Like, I watched Rosemary's Baby at like 11 o'clock last night. Fine.
I agree with you.
I don't find that scary. I find it horrifying. I just don't find it scary.
I turned my light on.
For Rosemary's Baby?
No.
Oh, for Hereditary?
I turned my light on, and then I turned my ring light on for even more brightness.
Yeah, it's motherfucker, a fucking scary
You ain't having
movie.
Shadows in my room to hide. So, yeah, had that, and I was like, okay, cool. Still a slow burn to me.
Yes.
And then 37 minutes in, so we'll go back before the 37 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Young Peter, the son,
yep.
wants to go to a party, says to his mom, hey, Also, before this, at the funeral, her dad asks, the young girl's dad asks if the chocolate bar she's eating, and you see her a few times eating a chocolate bar, asks if it has nuts. So foreshadowing, she has a nut allergy. At that point, I'm like, she's going to die of nuts.
Nut allergy.
So Peter wants to go to a party. He asks his mum, hey, can I borrow the car to go to Eli's, obviously, but she knows what's up.
Yeah, she's smart.
He's like, hey, school barbecue? Can I go? I need a car. She's like, are you going to drink? He's like, no.
Yeah, we're not absolutely young. Absolutely, I'm going
to
drink.
He's like, we're not even old enough to get alcohol. She's like, that's a crock. So are you going to drink? He's like, no, I have no intentions of drinking.
Yeah.
She's like, do you want, are you going to take your sister? He's like, does she even want to go? She's like, have you asked her? I just want to say, that is good fucking parenting.
Is it?
No, because she's asking the right, if my mom asked me those questions, I'd be pissed at the point. But hindsight. Looking out for both her children. Yes, you can go to the barbecue,
that's fair.
But check with your sister. Not take your sister at this point. Check with your sister. Then you find the young girl walking down with no shoes, their little back paddock. Sees a little fire burning her grandma. Little like she sees a visage of her grandma in some fire.
Right. Yeah,
her mum yells at her, all this stuff. Don't go outside without your shoes on. All this shit. And then she says to Peter, you're taking your sister. She needs to go see kids.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then the girl's like, no one there is going to be my age. It's like, hang out with your brother.
Yeah.
Okay. They go to, I don't want to hang out with my older siblings either. But they go to the party and he's like, hey, I'm going to go smoke a bowl with my friends. You stay here. Go have some cake.
Which, I'm sorry, the opening scene for when they get to the party is a chopping, like this chick chopping peanuts.
Obviously, they can't see it.
Fuck ton of peanuts.
Like an idiot.
Like 2 kilo of peanuts.
Like an idiot. Put them in a bag and crush them. Don't use a knife, you fucking idiot.
No, she's hacking away at it's super foreshadowing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's like shoving it down your throat foreshadowing.
At that point, I was like, yeah, no, she gone die.
She gone die.
So I thought peanut. I'm getting to the point that made me go, fuck. So she eats some cake. She's fine. She starts, oh, my throat's getting a bit itchy. She continues to do what she's doing. And then she starts to go into, is it anaphylaxis?
I think so.
And then she tells her brother, she's like, I can't breathe. He's like, fuck, good brother.
Yeah.
Hat off to this guy. He gets her in the fucking car and he starts hoofing it. He's like, we're almost at the hospital, She puts the window down.
Yeah.
She puts her head out. Which
she can't breathe.
Yeah. I thought this is a good fucking idea. If you can't breathe air down because your throat's closed, open your mouth out the window, force air down, ram force.
Yeah.
Okay. Fucking ram the air down there. Goes past the pole.
Yeah. That's
she loses her mind. Yeah, she hits a pole and she
loses her head. Yeah. Yes.
But
so she gets decapitated by this pole.
37 minutes in.
37 This is the character you've been following for 37 minutes and she's dead. But I would do the exact same thing that this kid does.
Yeah, he snapped.
He has a full mental breakdown and just quietly stops the car.
And then continues.
Looks back.
Kind
freaks
of
out.
Looks back.
Yeah. Stares straight ahead. Drives all the way home, doing like 20K the entire way home.
Idles home.
Locks the car, goes upstairs and gets into bed.
Yep.
And then the next morning is woken up by his mum screaming her head off.
Because she goes to the car.
Yeah.
She's like, hey, they made it home safe. Where's my daughter? What the fuck's that in the back of the car?
Her body.
Just the body.
Yeah. And just in case the viewer didn't understand what was going on, then I believe the next scene, or very close thereafter, is a shot of her rotting head on the side of a road.
Yes, almost exactly the next scene.
Yeah. Just in case you didn't know what happened.
Yeah. Just in case you didn't follow. But this was another one of those movies where as things went on, I started to make sense of things earlier. And they make it more apparent that things were orchestrated.
Yes.
Than Rosemary's Baby.
I don't have the question on if this, any of this is happening.
Yeah. But there's that symbol that is on the necklaces. Yeah. I saw it on the pole.
Yes, it's on the pole too. Yeah.
I thought, oh, town symbol? Small town icon? That was my first thought. And then I thought, like, again, movie finishes, I think, on my way over here. Holy shit. He was orchestrated to do that. They put the thing on the pole.
Mm-hmm.
There's no poles for ages.
Yeah.
It's the only pole in the middle of fucking nowhere.
It's the only telephone pole. So the
body was placed there. He dodges a body, by the way. Yes. Like, in the middle of the road, he wouldn't hit it. But he dodges a body to the right, and fucking bam, sister's gone. A coyote carcass?
Yeah.
So he goes to dodge to the right, and then it was all orchestrated.
Absolutely.
And then, oh.
Absolutely. I'm curious.
Good movie.
Yes, very good movie. I'm curious. I didn't rewind to take a look, but I'm curious to see if there was any of that symbol at the party. Like, how deep does this go?
I don't think there was any at the party. I don't think. I'm agreeing with you. Like, I didn't look either, but...
I feel like this is one of those movies where you can go frame by frame and it's like there's the symbol in every frame or something. So after that... If not
every frame, every scene.
Yeah. After that, the next kind of big plot point is, you know, the Toni Collette's character's mum's dead, so her mum's friend comes and, like, tries to console her, tells her about this ritual to contact her...
At this point, doesn't know it's her mum's friend.
...daughter. Right.
She finds out later that it's her mum's friend.
Yes, 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 yes. You are right on that. But essentially teaches her how to do this seance, blah, blah, blah. She then goes home and does it with her husband and son. They freak the fuck out because this is like candles being blown up in flames classes moving and like shit like that. It's one of those things that's like, okay, now we know this is actually happening because... Okay, I believe that it would be a psychosis if the son was the only other one that saw it, but the husband sees it too.
He just ignores it. He's like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
Even the body upstairs.
Well, he does kind of freak out about that.
Yeah, but he's like, you did it.
Mm.
Like, I think she even explains, I was going to grievance counseling, and he's like, you're the one who dug up your mother and put her in the attic.
Yeah.
Like... Talk about a horrible fucking husband.
Oh, fucking earth. Absolutely.
She just wants to put her in a fucking loony bin.
Absolutely.
Your mum was mental, so you are too.
Yeah.
Which, I'm sorry, but she was the only sane person in the fucking house, champ.
I know, right? Let's, I'm really glad you brought that up. Let's talk about the title of the movie, Hereditary. So, all of the trailers leading up to release were all insinuating that this was a mental illness movie.
Yeah.
And all of this was happening because of mental illness. And... You, like, kind of in the trailers, you see, like, Toni Collette's character acting, like, really fucked up. And then her daughter's acting fucked up. Her son's hitting his head on the table. Like, it's...
You do see that scene.
Yeah. It's passed on through genetics.
Yeah.
Like, it's a mental illness problem. And the only person absolved of that is the husband.
As if it's passed down through the mother.
Right. And then 37 minutes in, one of the characters on the fucking poster for the movie gets a head cut off.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh no, this is a horror. This is a fucking horror. Holy shit.
I counted three jump scares.
Really?
Three. The one that I mentioned earlier with her mum in the corner.
Yeah.
Another one later in the movie, like right near the end, where it was a dirty jump scare, this one I'm about to tell you. His mother... Toni Collette's in the corner and loud music plays. She rushes at him.
Oh, yeah.
And the third one was just before that. I'm not going to call it a dirty jump scare. But she kind of goes from one end of the screen to the other end of the screen, crawling across the wall.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shit, what the fuck is that?
So this is...
So in my eyes, one dirty jump scare.
Yeah.
And the ones that got me anyway, one dirty jump scare and two actual scares.
That's fair. One of the last things I want to talk about, because we're kind of jumping through the movie, we're at the end now, and please go watch this movie.
Oh, yeah.
So, after shit starts going down, Toni Collette goes to burn the book.
Yes.
And she lights her arm on fire. Because, like, you burn the book, all the damage that's being done to the book is being done to her. So she pulls the book out of the fire and pats herself out and realizes you can't burn the book. Later on in the movie, she executes her husband by getting him to burn the book.
But she throws it in.
She throws it in?
Yeah. So I...
maybe I missed the scene.
No. So what happens is exactly that. Like, she pats herself out and she goes, fuck, I can't burn this book because I'm linked to the book. But she hasn't got the strength. She says, I don't have the strength to do it. You need to throw it in. I'm happy to sacrifice myself. I'll do it, but I don't have the strength to do it. We need to burn this book. And he's like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not facilitating your mental illness. We need to call the police. You need to go to hospital.
Yeah.
And then she's like, fuck it. She grabs the book, snatches it out of his hand, and she just throws it in. She just full fucking falcons it. And poof.
Up goes her husband. Up he goes.
I did notice something, though. Having watched Corridor Crew. Check them out on YouTube.
Yeah.
They do a lot of visual effects stuff. They make a lot of cool, amazing shit. They did a thing where one of their staff members got covered in the suit and the oil or the gel and lit up. I noticed it when he lit up.
I've seen stuntmen do that.
I noticed it. I was like, he's got the layers. This isn't a CG file.
No, it's real fire. That was
real fire.
Which I think this...
I also noticed something about the treehouse.
Go on.
The middle of the treehouse cuts out so they can get cameras in.
Yeah.
I noticed the light.
Yeah, it cuts out, yeah.
Because cameras are big. They can't get through the hole, so they take that out, they put the camera in, they close it back up.
Absolutely. I want to say that this house was actually made. Like, I don't think it's an actual house, like, you know like some movies. They're
not renting it.
Yeah, they're not renting the house. Yeah. They've actually built the set. Yeah. Because a lot of the cinematography in this, you can really only do... without CGI, you can really only do if you can take out a wall. Yep.
Yes.
Because there's times where the camera pans between rooms, kind of like a sitcom.
Yeah.
So I think this whole movie, this whole house is a built set.
Yeah. Or at least they've built it in sections as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Or at least they've built other, like they've taken sections of it and rebuilt it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking good movie.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking good movie. I recommend both these movies, and this was a fantastic double feature.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can see how... and definitely watch Rosemary's Baby, then Hereditary.
Yeah.
Because you can see how much Hereditary borrows from Rosemary's Baby.
Yes. Yeah, no,
it's, like, the premise has changed. It's not about a newborn child, but it is about a demon possessing through heritage.
Payman.
King Payman.
Yeah. Which I found pretty fascinating because she reads the book and it says that he has to take a
male host. Body. Yeah.
But this is what I was thinking. What if they had put it in the girl and payment clicks? What if that's what the clicking was? What if it was in her and they needed to transfer it to the guy?
Yep. And the only way you can cut him off from the host?
Just kill him.
Decapitation.
Yeah. Oh, because the mother.
Yep.
The granny would have had him.
Yep. The granny had him.
She was queen.
Yep. She was queen page or whatever for the cult. And then she needed to pass. There's another scene where, you know, Toni Collette's character says to the son, oh, I never wanted you.
Yeah.
They forced me to have you. And I'm glad I did, but I never wanted to be your mother. And that's because here's my thing. The granny had payment in her, needed a male host, forced her daughter to give birth to a male, and then went to change it over. It failed and needed to wait for the next one.
Who happened to be a girl.
Yes.
Put the spirit when she died into the girl.
Yes.
And then her friend was tasked to transfer from the girl to the boy.
Yeah.
But they had to break his spirit.
Yes, they had to break his mentality first.
Because he looks over and he has a reflection and it's smiling.
Yeah.
When we learnt about Payman, I was like, that was Payman.
Yeah, absolutely.
Payman
kind of knocking, like ringing the doorbell kind of thing.
Hello. You mind if I take over?
Which in that book as well, it says like Payman can only possess people weak of will or vulnerable people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they need to break his morale first, kill everyone around him, and then put Payman in him. But that final scene where his mum's cutting off her own fucking head...
Can I quickly mention something about that?
Go on.
So, my wife looked over around that point.
Yeah.
And she obviously has no idea what's going on in the movie. I'm watching with headphones on my computer. She looks over and she goes, is she dancing?
When she's like sawing her neck off. Yeah,
when she's garroting her own neck.
Oh, yeah, okay.
She goes, is she dancing? I'm like, yes, babe. She's doing a little boogie. She's really going to blow her head off. It's a good dance. And then,
she's got a dancing shoes on.
Yeah, and then he jumps out the window. And she's like, why did he jump out the window? I'm like, babe, I can't explain. There's a lot that happened in this movie.
This is like the last 5 minutes of the movie.
And she's like, oh, okay. And then I'm like, just so you know, there was a thud. Her head came off. She's like, oh, this must have been a good dance then. She knew it was a horror movie. Yeah. Like, you're a fucking
asshole. Speaking of the last scene in this movie where he goes up to the the house and, you know, all the cult members are there telling him that, oh, you know, your payment, we're hail payment, all that crap. I don't think payment's actually in him. Because he's, like, he has no reaction. It's like, my dad's dead. My mum just cut off her own head. I'm in a fucking cubby house with a bunch of old fucking naked people and two headless bodies, and he just has a mental break and he's just standing there. No lines of dialogue, no nothing, just kind of like glassy-eyed, crying, looking around. I don't think he's actually got a demon in him. I think he's just staying silent because he doesn't want to die.
I'm inclined to believe you and agree.
Mm.
But at the same time, not. I think for the most part, you're right. I think at that point, he's not payment.
But he will be.
But payment is in him to switch. I think at the end, when his mum was crawling over all over the walls and whatnot, yep. I think his mother had payment in him. In her.
Okay, I see.
Because you see the little thing float down?
Yeah.
And go into him? I think that was payment or him. And he's in control at that point.
Yeah.
But like,
payment's in him nonetheless. Okay. Yeah,
like he is King Payment, but at that moment, and he's just, exactly what you said, he's just like, this is me now.
Yeah.
I have to be. Like, what else do I have?
Yeah.
My mother's there. Yeah. She's lost her head. My sister's lost her head. My dad's a fucking, you know, Anakin Skywalker.
Oh, yeah.
You know, fucking.
Everyone go watch Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yep.
But yeah, no, I agree, but I think there's more to it. Yes, yeah. He's not payment at that point, but payment is for sure in him.
In him? Okay.
So maybe he's got DID now. Maybe that's what Hereditary comes from. They're all, wait, what if he actually is payment? Like, not like...
Two people.
Not two, what if he is payment? Like, he was born payment. There was no spirit or anything like that.
You've lost me, man.
I've lost me.
See what movies do to you.
Those that understand what I mean, like, he is payment. There was no resurrection, no reincarnation. Like, he was born. He is payment.
Okay. I think I get what you mean.
And his grandma was like, no, you have to give birth because he's payment. And all this stuff was essentially to remove all those earthly bounds to have him be King Payment.
Oh, okay.
To take the mantle, to be who he was born to be.
Okay.
Anyway.
I can get up on that.
Yeah. Anyway, this movie made me lose my mind for a couple of minutes.
Made everyone lose their head. Very, very shit. Right when you were taking a drink of your coffee too. Swallow.
Yep.
Okay, good boy. So I kind of want to ask what your rating for this movie is first, because I think in the last one I kind of influenced you a little bit with 8. Solid 8?
8.1?
I think I'm going to 7.5 on this one. Better than Rosemary's Baby for our generation, but I think I'm giving it extra points for watching it as a double feature. I think these movies go fucking amazingly together.
I think if cinemas ever do go back to showing, like double features and shit like that and doing marathons, these need to be coupled together.
Absolutely. Abso-fucking-lutely.
Ryan wants to shout out Shorefinger 2275. What?
How'd you fucking get that so fast?
How'd I get it so fast? Because he messaged me.
He messaged you?
Yeah, man.
I'm so confused.
Shorefinger's me. No, I'm kidding. Shorefinger 2275. I am the one who awarded you. Okay. I jumped on there because I remember that I went to the link and I remember that seeing it on there, and I was going to comment and say, "Holy shit, man! Like, thanks for doing these movies." But yep. I didn't want him to know that I was one of the co-hosts, so all I did was award him, and then he messaged me saying, "Thanks for the award," and I said, "I figured you deserved it for the suggestion. Much enjoy Hereditary."
Yes. So, Shorefinger, thank you very much for your suggestion. And if you would like to suggest anything, a great double feature, head to the website or the Twitter.
Yeah, it's...
link in the descriptions. Yes. So, sorry to not say that up front, but Shorefinger, thank you very much for that suggestion.
Also, Shorefinger, if you do listen... I'm the Ninja Cake. So, hey, how you doing?
That award came from him.
Yeah, I awarded you. You deserve it.
Absolutely.
Deserve it.
So, we'll get back on track. Hereditary. Give me an audience. Give me a critic, mate.
Critic, I'm going to say Noir the Harshaw,
81%. 89. Ooh. So close, man.
Audience, 83.
Nah, man. Bad look. The majority liked it, but not that much. 68% for
this
audience.
Was saying, like, these newer movies, they're very far apart compared to...
older movies. So, the critic consensus for Hereditary is Hereditary uses its classic setup.
Yeah.
Yep, definitely. As a framework for a harrowing, uncommonly unsettling horror film whose cold touch lingers long beyond the closing credits.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, first time I saw this movie, I was thinking about it for a week.
I skipped through because I thought there'd be something in the credits. I was like, there's got to be more. There has to fucking be more. Like him murdering someone or something.
Oh, yeah.
There isn't.
No, there isn't.
It's not a Marvel movie.
So, we do have a rotten review.
Mm-hmm.
An audience rotten review. 2 stars.
That's, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's, look, 2 out of 5. So, not terrible. But Dan M., says, incredibly dull and disturbing. Hereditary is a poorly made horror film. The story follows an artist who turns to witchcraft to contact her daughter when she dies in a car accident.
She doesn't turn to witchcraft. She kind of like stumbles upon
it. Yeah,
like,
she's kind of coerced into it.
Yeah, she doesn't go, I want to talk to my daughter. Someone shows her that she can do it. And she goes, oh my God, I'm grieving. I can talk to my daughter again. Nah, sorry, champ. You fucking summon a demon.
Yeah, good job. Good job, champ.
This is why I want to be cremated and separated into 3 separate urns.
Nah, mummify me. Yeah.
Higher chance for resurrection, you doofus.
Well, I'm not going to fucking do much without like a heart, a brain, lungs,
someone hasn't
liver.
Seen The Mummy.
Oh, yeah, fair call. Yeah.
Crucification? Not crucification. Crucification.
Oh, shit.
We went to the extreme. Cremate me. And separate me into 3 separate urns and put them as far away as possible. Hide one.
Nah, you
scatter another. Nah, and give one to my wife.
Nah. Here you go. Give one to tomorrow. That's fine. The one that you want lost, take it back to Scotland.
Oh, yep.
And scatter the other one in, like, Sydney.
Too many permits. Go to Antarctica.
No, that's fair.
Oh, no.
It's like 15 grand for a flight to Antarctica.
Oh, go on a cruise then. Have a holiday. Oh, no, I dropped the urn in the Pacific Ocean. Oh, no. Whoop.
That's not an ashtray. Yeah. So, IMDb. I get you that one. Get you with that one.
That's good.
Okay, we're running a little bit long, so let's get through this. IMDb, man, you're great at this last time. What do we got?
7.3.
You fucking looked at him.
No, I didn't.
You fucking looked at him.
No, I didn't.
You fucking looked at him.
You're fucking shitting
me. Fucking 7.3. What is wrong with you?
Why can I get IMDb but not fucking rotten?
Mate, you...
No fucking way.
I don't believe you.
What the fuck?
7.3. You're on the fucking dot.
I fucking swear to you. I swear on Boji I did not look.
Oh, shit.
I did not look. I went to it, copy... Paste, close.
Fuck me, man. Alright, I believe you.
I got the fucking jitters.
Plot twist, you are payment. So, 7.3 out of 10 from IMDb with 294,000 reviews. So, definitely reviewed high. Runtime, 2 hours, 7 minutes. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
I might be faltering on my rating here. I kind of want to give this like a 7.
Yeah.
Like, okay. 8 if you watch it as a double feature with Rosemary Baby.
Yeah, yeah.
6 if you just watch it alone.
Yeah.
Does that sound about right?
Yeah, yeah, no. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Because with Rosemary's Baby, you have, you can see like the similarities and
yeah,
like,
yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah,
you go to a drive-in, watch horror movies, these two are together.
Yeah.
Amazing. Oh, amazing. Man. The experience would be great.
We should open up a theater. Just do double features.
I don't have money for that. I work for Australia
think
Post.
I do?
Australia Post doesn't pay me that fucking
money. I live week to week. You know how much this podcast cost me? That was What Makes the Cut. And now, in the final segment, I need to ask Josh the very important question, what made the cut?
You're not going to get mad at me this time?
No, I swear to God.
Hereditary.
Yeah, okay.
Hereditary.
I think I'm going to get mad at you.
Yeah, you think Rosemary's Baby?
No. Rosemary's Baby makes the cut. Put it on the Golden Record, send it to space.
You can't do that. Yeah. That's Canada's littering.
Set the seas.
I want to agree with you, but I didn't enjoy...
Hereditary more. That's fair. That's your opinion. Just know it's wrong.
I was waiting for that. I fucking shit you not.
All right. So, okay. We've got a differing opinion.
Yeah.
So, we got to shoot it out.
Okay.
Okay. Ready?
Wait. It's rock, paper, scissors, then
go? Scissors, paper, rock. Okay. Scissors, paper, rock. Yeah. Aha! Yeah, Rosemary Baby.
Rosemary Baby. Here, right,
wins. Here. It makes the cut.
Rock beats scissors.
Rock beats fucking scissors.
Yeah.
Mate, okay, that was What Makes the Cut. Thank you so much for joining us for another week. If you want to get in touch with us, like we said before, head to whatmakesthecut.com. Josh gets annoyed with me if I say www. Or you can contact me at whatmakesthecut on Twitter.
You have to put the @ symbol, don't you?
Yes.
I just wasn't sure. I don't use Twitter that much.
Josh, your choice next week.
Yep, I already know.
What are we watching?
We are watching Chef and Burnt.
Do you have the years for them?
No, but they're fairly recent.
Oh, okay.
One stars the gentleman who... Fuck. The guy who started the MCU. Like the dude who directed and wrote Iron Man.
Oh, shit. Okay.
The guy who plays Happy Hogan.
Oh,
he's
really?
In one of them. And,
it's not Kevin Feige.
No. He's the chairman of Marvel.
Yeah, no. I'm with you. I know the face. Yeah.
And the other one stars Bradley Cooper.
That's fair.
People will know them when they see them. They are chef movies. They came from someone I work with. I mentioned the podcast to them. They're older guys. And they said, hey, why don't you do something about the industry or do podcasts from the industry you used to work in you know, talk about your experience in there? I was like, that's fucking dumb. And then I was like, actually, they're both very good movies.
Yeah.
Like, well, Burn has been recommended to me a lot.
I'm interested to see what you think makes the cut then.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Have a lovely evening.
Take away outro, Ryan.
Dun, 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 dun.